You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we kick off hour number two here on a Monday version of Nightlight. So great to have you with me. We've got such a fun night here. We've got live entertainment in the studio with the Piat family who are here talking about On Stage for Cancer, which I will tell you a little more about. It's coming up in just a couple of weeks. At 7:20, Rob Thomas joins the show. He's a Madison-based film critic and one of our frequent flyers here at Nightlight. Conrad Krieger running the board. You doing okay, buddy? You need anything?
I'm doing great.
Okay, good to have you. We've got a great question tonight, folks, too. Pardon me. It's national. Hey, you know, when I just did that, I sounded like Lois Lane. My voice got a little raspy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Rachel Brosnahan. She was good.
She was great.
Yeah. Lois Lane apparently has to have a raspy voice. Yeah, Rachel Brosnahan, native Wisconsinite, by the way, and Marco Kidder from the 1970s Superman. They both had that, like, kind of, it's a little sexier when they do it. It just sounds terrible. I'm in no danger of joining the Piat family in song during their stay here.
You're our manager. You can be our manager.
Oh, really? You be my house band, and I'll be your manager. We can work something out here. Our question of the night, it is National Nude Day. So our question of the night is, if you had to streak, or just wanted to, I suppose, what would you do? Where would you go streaking? What event would you choose? We'll catch up on some text in just a minute here, but it's 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio, text us on the stream. Dave on the stream says, I'm not that into running, so I would sit naked on a bench on a running path and watch the reactions. That actually sounds very interesting. And Dave says, of course, I'd be waving like Forrest and wearing a smiley face pasties on my nipples.
Pasties.
That might be the first time we've said nipples on this show, Conrad.
No, we've touched on nipples before.
You've got that in the memos?
That was horrible, Conrad. That was horrible, buddy.
If you did it on purpose, you're a genius. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for setting Conrad up inadvertently. We've also got, I love this text from Tony the Trucker. We've got an actual streaker chiming in, and he says, Pete, done that. 1974, passed the auditorium of my alma mater as a school play was letting out, and yeah, alcohol was involved. I wonder if anybody has ever streaked where alcohol was not involved. It seems like it's kind of a prerequisite for running naked through wherever you go.
Yeah, liquid courage.
Liquid courage, exactly.
Gets you through a lot. Yep.
Lee from DePere says, or we could all go streaking down at the quad. Outstanding, a reference to old school. Love it. Tom from New Berlin says, I think naked drive-through would be the most ballsy. All right,
oh,
Tom.
Boy.
Things are going downhill in a hurry here, thanks to my question of the night. Mark from Prairie du Sac also says, polar bear plunge would involve significant shrinkage. Yes, I would imagine that's true, Mark. I don't want to speak for all men, but yeah, probably.
You know, the issue isn't your question. The issue is the fact that there actually is a day.
Dedicated to this.
Right?
I know, it's really odd, but there's a day for everything. Like,
that
there's National, you know, Peppermint Tea Day. It's very specific. And finally, Mark from Prairie du Sac, in reference to our guests, the Piat family, and On Stage for Cancer, says, cancer sucks. And after my diagnosis in 2019, I took the line from Game of Thrones. There is one God, and his name is Death. In your answer to that, God is not today. There is one God, and his name is Death. Oh, okay. And your answer to that God is not today. Very well said, Mark. I'm so used to there being typos in texts that I thought maybe he meant in death. But no, he got it right. It was me that stumbled there. Thank you, buddy. That's a great text. He says, attitude is a good chunk of recovery. I can't thank my oncology team enough. Very well said, Mark. And glad you're doing well. And thank you, as always, for being part of Nightlight. All right, let's get back to the fun in the studio here. The Piat family is here. Christine, Paul, and their son, Elliot, who has a mandolin, which is so cool. We heard Fields of Gold before.
Oh, you put it down.
You retired it for the evening?
I retired it.
That's okay. So On Stage for Cancer takes place July 31st at the Riverside Ballroom here in Green Bay from 6 to 8 p.m. And this is so great. This year's beneficiary is Dennis Peters, who is the leader of the glam band and a multi-whammy winner, right?
Yes.
Have you guys ever been to that? Is that like a really cool...
I have not gone.
Yeah. Has Kim ever been there?
I don't think so.
Okay. It seems like a really fun event. I know our bar band Friday night we do here with Terry Barr. She's been there. But Dennis Peters, an award-winning singer, supposedly an incredible performer. I've never seen him. But we wish him well, and it's so great that you guys are helping out with On Stage for Cancer. So what else can people expect at this year's event?
So we have put together I'll give you some of the song titles, and we'll see if you can figure out, the theme.
All right.
Because there's a specific theme, but it's...
She's very proud of it.
I already like it. I don't even know where it's going, but I think it sounds cool.
Chicken Fried. Zach Brown, Chicken Fried.
Okay.
9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Okay.
Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Oh, that one threw me. Okay.
Oh, but when, yeah, okay. Cracklin' Rosie.
Neil Diamond, all right.
I believe you have me singing Margaritaville.
Margaritaville.
I get to put on some flip-flops.
That's a
my favorite things.
A few of my favorite things, like Julie Andrews.
But it's a super cool jazzy version.
I am not seeing a theme here.
Food and drink.
A few of my favorite things. Margaritaville.
Margaritaville. Obvious. Vodka and tonic in Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Oh, okay.
He mentions vodka and tonic.
Oh.
You have favorite things is schnitzel with noodles, she says.
Wow. Okay.
Chicken fried.
Some are
obviously.
Much more obvious than others. Yeah. So there is a food or drink reference, I think, in every
song.
But
what does she say in 9 to 5? What's the Dolly Parton?
Stumble to the kitchen and you pour a cup of ambition.
Ambition. Mm-hmm. Which either could be a gin and tonic or coffee. Exactly. I always assumed it was coffee.
Just how much ambition do you need? Yeah. That's really what it is. Is it hair of the dog or do you just need coffee?
Exactly. You know? Well, I would love to hear you guys play something else before we get pressed for time. Do you have something you've prepared or you just want to...
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
Sure. Yeah, we're going to do Landslide by Fleetwood Mac.
Love it. This is the Piat family, Christine, Paul, and Elliot. And Elliot is featured tonight, so take it away whenever you're ready.
Making the kids work a little bit.
I took my love and I took it down. I climbed the mountain and I turned around. And I saw my reflection in a snow-covered hill. Till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I build my life around you. But time makes you bolder, even children get older, and I'm getting older too. Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I build my life around you. But time makes you bolder, even children get older, and I'm getting older too. Oh, I'm getting older too. Take my love, take it down. I climbed a mountain and turned around. And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, will the landslide bring you down? And if you see my reflection in the snow-covered hills, will the landslide bring you down? Oh, the landslide bring you down.
Very nice. That was great. Paul, the guitar on that, beautiful too.
Well, thank you.
You guys got all the bases covered. Two beautiful voices, some guitars. Very well done, you guys. This is so fun.
Thank you. Thanks. We appreciate you inviting us to be here.
Always. Well, first of all, it's for a great cause, and it's outstanding entertainment because you guys always, you never disappoint when you're here. I don't want to say you're even better without Kim here. I don't want to start that kind of nonsense.
She's our eye candy.
All right. So where else do you guys perform? You do Doctors in Recital, mm-hmm. On Stage for Cancer. Do you work other gigs or do you play other places?
So Paul and I used to play out, but then we decided to just kind of focus in on the kids.
Yeah.
Right. And so they were really busy through high school. And so really we kind of play at church is where we play and are kind of like, you know, the sports parents who travel all over for tournaments, but we're the music parents. And so we go to all their performances and just decided that we had our time, you know,
right.
I mean, that sounds weird, but like that we can focus on the kids now because they're entering their prime performing time. You know,
are you empty nesters now?
We are.
I mean, when the kids are at school anyway. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
That's how we,
I mean, you really miss that.
He's crying inside.
I will say it's eerie. Like sometime when my son first went to college about, you know, 5 years ago, I felt like I still heard him downstairs. And now my daughter's gone and she's just kind of a force. You know, it's like, it's weird not having that energy in the house. Do you guys sing still? Do you play your instruments when the kids are away?
Yeah.
Do the two of you as a couple just play?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Well, and the neat thing is the gentleman we played with when we had a group, we were called Spare Time, and we did, like, coffee shop gigs and stuff.
Yeah.
Brad Beck is his name. Long-time family friend. Honorary brother, I'd even call it. The three of us played together. He is going to be part of the concert.
Oh, fantastic.
On Stage for Cancer. So he's going to get to join us. So it'll be kind of cool.
All right. It's the Piat family. They'll be performing. Will you bring the mandolin? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. For welcome, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so...
He's very confident in that, can you tell?
Oh, for sure. Well, that's why he's got his parents there to remind him. So
right,
it's
true.
On Stage for Cancer, folks, July 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a Thursday at the Riverside Ballroom right here in Green Bay.
Chicken dinner!
Proceeds go to Dennis Peters of the Glam Band. And based on what I've heard about Dennis, it couldn't be a better event for a better guy. So good luck with that. Thank you as always for being here.
You're all
welcome to
come back.
Thanks for having us. Even if you don't know the guest, just come by and give support, general support. Yes. You know,
she's really good, right?
Yeah. There was no mistake.
You feel supported?
I don't want to say.
Conrad
felt supported. All right. We're coming right back with Rob Thomas, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you to the
Piat
family. Thanks, you guys. Have a great night.
Pete.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Schwabba, your loyal host for this evening's festivities. Always great to have the Piat family in here with or without Kim Shevchik, Conrad. I wasn't sure how that was going to go.
Hey, it turned out great.
Turned out just wonderful. So definitely support OnStage for Cancer, folks. You can go to their website and check it out. You can live stream it on your at home in the comfort of your own home for $20. The proceeds go to a great cause, Dennis Peters of the Glam Band, and just lots of stuff. And you can just make a donation, too, if you can't make it there in person, although they have allotted more tickets. So they added more tables. You can still go in person, but you can live stream it, or you can just make a donation, and it's for an outstanding cause. So there you go. All right, so we've got from live studio entertainment to this next guest, who I love having on the show. Rob and I usually connect before the show to find out what we've been watching so we can decide what we're going to discuss. But he's seen so much stuff, I feel confident knowing that he's going to be an outstanding interview, as he always is, because he is the guy who is in the know when it comes to show business. He joins us now over the stream, Madison-based film critic and CityCast Madison newsletter editor, Rob Thomas. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Pete. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
So it's National Streaking Day, Rob. You ever had the pleasure?
I have not.
Okay.
Do people still... We have the naked bike ride here in Madison. That's a
I think that
time-honored tradition, but do people still streak on foot? That's even more dangerous to me.
I think we're too lazy as a country to streak on foot. It's actually... And
they're getting exercise, right?
That's true. I misspoke. It's actually National Nude Day. The question is, if you were to streak, what event would you choose? I chose a conclave. What did you say, Con?
I said either a nude cruise or a movie theater.
Yeah, nude cruise, you get... You're already halfway there,
yeah.
So why not? So give it some thought, Rob, if you want to wait and answer toward the end of the show, that's fine. So how's it going? I just have to ask first and foremost, did you see Superman?
I did. We saw it, my daughters and I saw it Sunday.
Okay. Yesterday.
That's right.
Same here. Yes. All right. So let's start with a good old fashioned summer blockbuster movie, Superman. What did you think?
I would say I liked Superman and I loved Crypto the dog. He reminded me so much of one of our dogs when he was a puppy and would just destroy the house. Like he seemed possessed. And have that energy in a super dog, I thought was pretty funny all the way through.
It was. It was a fun part of the film whenever Crypto was on camera. And I got to tell you, I have a lot of, I think they say kids and animals are the hardest to work with when you make movies. I don't doubt that. And Crypto, I don't know how they did it. Some of the dog had to be CGI, some of it, right?
Well, I think the dog is, so what I heard is the dog is CGI, but it's modeled on the director's own dog who... was so they used like all his videos of his dog, who's just as insane as Crypto is.
Oh, wow.
And kind of modeled it off that. So that's why it's like, it's definitely, I mean, dogs can't fly and it would be extremely dangerous to try and make it fly. But the way it looks like a real dog kind of all the way through, I think that's why.
Yeah. What did you think of the movie, Rob? Like overall, did you do a review for it?
I thought it was a lot of fun. It took me a little while to get into the rhythm of it. Cause probably like you, I would imagine the Christopher Reeve Superman is the gold standard for me. That first movie, first two movies, which are much more, I mean, they're fun, but they're also very serious and heroic and mythic. And this one, the director James Gunn did the Guardians of the Galaxy movies and brought that humor, brought like a lot of characters, a lot of aliens, a lot of stuff into it that at first did not quite mesh for me with what I thought a superhero movie should be.
Interesting.
But yeah. I got into it pretty quick and had a really good time. I think the guy who plays Superman is great. I thought he was a very good choice as sort of a more human-sized Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good jokes. So, yeah, that's kind of where I land. I had a really good time.
What did you think of Rachel Brosnahan?
Oh, she's great as Lois Lane.
Agreed.
She's great. Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor, I thought, was really good. Those three, if I have a criticism with the movie, is that those three are all so good that I got a little frustrated when the movie would sort of go off with some minor character away from those three. Like, there's not even that much Superman in this movie sometimes.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
And almost no Clark Kent, which is also like, that's what I loved about the first movie, was like the way Christopher Reeve would go from being Clark Kent to Superman sometimes in this in one shot. And right. he could be really funny as Clark Kent. Like, he was a great physical comedian, and then become the superhero. Whereas, like, I think there's like one scene with Clark Kent in this movie, maybe, and the rest he's Superman.
That's a great point. I didn't really realize that. Khan, did you have a?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard the salaries that they got, like, between those three.
Uh-huh.
And Superman and Lois Lane got $750,000 for it, their roles, and Nicholas Hoult got $2 million.
Rob, does that surprise? Like, I'm not surprised about Brosnahan and Cornswoggle. I'm surprised Nicholas Hoult didn't get. Now they're going to make a ton on residuals and
right
that kind of thing. It's great to be a part of a movie like that. I guess that surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, David Cornswoggle, the only thing I've seen him in before this was he had a pretty small role in that Twisters movie last summer.
Okay.
But Rachel Brosnahan, I would, you know, she had Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Yeah. She's definitely probably the best known of the three. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised. But also, I mean, none of them are stars, I would say.
Right. No, and they were smart to do that. I mean, your budget yeah. went elsewhere. But Rob Thomas is here, folks. We're going to continue our discussion of Superman when we come back after this news break. Rob is here, and we'll talk movies and CityCast masks and all kinds of fun stuff. It's great to have him here. It's Peachwamba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Within your readers who can sway.
Right now, tomorrow's love. I get so lost sometimes.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Our question of the night is, it's National Nude Day. Yes, there is a national day that celebrates nudity. If you were to go streaking, at what event would you streak? So let us know. We've had some pretty fun answers. Drive-thrus. Tony the Trucker has actually streaked.
I don't know. That's, yeah.
I don't know if I've ever actually met a streaker. But that is neither here nor there. So let us know your question, and then let's get back to Rob Thomas, because his time is valuable, because he's reviewing movies and television that you need to hear about, folks. He joins us now over the stream. We were talking about Superman, Rob, before the break. That was interesting what you said about Clark Kent. I didn't realize that, and that was kind of strange, because that's kind of the essence of Superman, too, or at least the human side, I guess. I was kind of shocked. I liked it, but I feel like movies are kind of just becoming videos. There's like music and effects, and I felt the same way about F1. In Superman, Wendell Pierce was totally wasted. I think Perry White had like five lines. I don't understand what the sports reporter or the blonde reporter with the cleavage, they didn't need to be in the movie. I mean, that was just like... And I don't know if I like the Guardians. Like, all of a sudden, you know, Rachel Brosnahan knows how to drive that guy's... It's just so many crazy things happening. It's like, it did make me miss, and I don't know if it's because I'm older or what, but the Superman of the 70s, where this is Superman, this is Clark, here's the bad guy. Even Superman 2, you had those three, I forget their names, but it was just simpler and not as chaotic.
Well, to me, that's James Gunn. I mean, that's the Guardians movies, where there's just lots going on. There's so many, you know, I mean, there's so many characters, the whole Justice Gang.
Yeah.
There's the whole prison sequence and the pocket universes. And like, and this is, you know, for a summer blockbuster, this is not a long movie. It's like 2 hours, a little over 2 hours.
Oh, I was happy about
that.
So
I do wonder if a lot of people, like all those Daily Planet staffers maybe had larger roles that got kind of cut down to nothing.
But I
kind of went along for the ride, and like that. Same. You know, that's a James Gunn movie. You know, somebody else would, Christopher Nolan would have made a totally different Superman movie, probably a better one. But if this is the one we get, I enjoyed the energy. I think I kind of enjoyed taking a break from the origin story, just because Superman, the first one, did it so well with Krypton. And,
yeah.
And going, you know, like, I don't need that to be told yet again in another movie. It's kind of reminded me of that Batman movie with Robert Pattinson from a couple years ago, right, when he started, where he's like 2 years in to being Batman. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely parts where I was like, this didn't need to be here, or, you know, I wish there was more of that. You know, on balance, I had a good time. I think the message of it, which is like, hey, you know, it was kindness is punk rock or something like that.
I like,
you know,
that a lot. Yeah.
Very, very timely and important message. And so I'm all, yeah, I had a good time. I'll see it again and probably enjoy it even more.
Oh, nice.
Now that my expectations are sort of, you know, scaled appropriately.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm the same way. And I enjoyed it. Like, I went with my wife, and it's not like we had a good time. I guess naturally I'm going to compare it to a different Superman or absolutely have my own opinions. But overall, yeah it's a fun, the effects were great. And I like the two main cast members too. So what else have you seen, Rob? Have you seen Jurassic World Rebirth?
Yeah. Did we talk? I can't remember. We talked about that.
I don't think we did see that. Yeah. I don't think we talked about that.
It's been a little while. Yeah. That's fine. I mean, if I was ranking the summer movies I've seen, I put Superman in between F1 a little higher and Jurassic a little lower. Like, I like the dinosaurs. The people are extremely cliched, I thought. And like the first 20 minutes where it's just the characters, like Scarlett Johansson, and like, it's really rough. Like, it's like, you know, this is my... they almost say, like, this is my character motivation. This right. is my character motivation. This is my past trauma I'm dealing with. Well, this is my past trauma. And then, but, you know, and so once the dinosaurs get into it, it's fun, you know, but and it's better than I saw the first of the Chris Pratt ones and the Jurassic World. And I like it better than that one for sure. But like,
right.
They'll never come anywhere near the first Jurassic Park, I think, right. in that series.
It's funny because, like, I went into this movie expecting to hate it. And I love Scarlett Johansson. I love Mahershala Ali. But I agree with you. I'm like, why are they talking right now? Nobody cares. Get to the dinosaurs. And then I watched Rob Jaws with my kids a couple weeks ago. They'd never seen it. And I liked that more than I remember liking it. That gets right into it. The girl is swimming. Within 15 minutes, there's another shark attack. And I thought, that's what Jurassic Park needs, is like a Quint, you know, a Robert Shaw character who's been, you know, they fast forwarded. Why not have a guy that's been battling these, I don't know, something, an interesting character? Because I totally agree with you. You got these two great actors and they gave him nothing to do.
That is a great idea. Like, because it does seem like every character in the movies are encountering dinosaurs for the first time. And, like, have a guy who's been at this for, like, 30, because it's been, like, 30 years in the movie universe, a dinosaur, some guy who's, like, you know, maybe lost a finger to a raptor, and he's out for revenge. I think that's a great idea.
He's been battling dinosaurs for 30 years, he's just a head now. He's lost every other body part. Like, but you could make him like 28 years later, like the Ray Fiennes character, something like that. I felt this movie was lacking. But but again, overall, with my expectations lower. I love the dinosaurs. Like, the CGI has just gotten so much better, I think.
Yeah. And like, yeah, there's the scene with the T-Rex and the raft, I thought was really well done. And
yeah,
you know, there it was, the movie where like, that scene was good. That scene was good. But, you know, we look at the overall movie, there's not really much to it.
Totally.
You
agree.
Know, other than those scenes.
Yeah. Where are you at? Did you see F1?
Seen it twice. Yeah. I saw it with my wife, and then I was out in Colorado and my mom wanted to see it probably for Brad Pitt.
Nice.
I think it's a really fun movie to watch. Again, it's a movie where the weakest part is the people, and you know, that story is beyond simple. You know, Brad Pitt, the old guy, and the cocky youngster, and the underdogs. You know, but it's just so well done. And the more you learn about how they shot it, and, you know, I don't think I realized the first time I saw it that they were shooting kind of before and during real Formula One races. Like, they'd run out on the track and shoot, and then get off before the track. I mean, it's incredible that it really shows in the film. Like, it really feels like you're there.
It's funny, I don't know anything about racing, but I do have this when I was watching Formula One, the pit crews, that just floored me how fast they are. And
yeah.
I could not believe it. If that was even close to real time, that was like my favorite part of the movie.
Well, all that. And then like basically I thought the purpose of F1 racing is go fast.
Right.
And to learn about the strategies and which tires you use and when you know.
Yeah.
The two teammates working together. Like, I didn't know any of that stuff. And so, especially the second watch, I think I was able to understand that more and really appreciate it, and the way they use those things to create drama and make it more interesting than just like, you know, cars going around a track over and over again. So,
yeah. We just talked about three films that are kind of just fun audience movies. Like, they're not going to be Oscar nominated, but you can go check them out and probably have a really good time in the theater. Right.
I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, in all three, I think benefit from the big screen, big time.
Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
You on your Substack, and by the way, follow Rob Thomas at Not That Rob Thomas Substack. He does movie reviews there, and they're really good. And Rob is my guest right now on the stream. You're very welcome, Rob. I thought you reviewed this movie I haven't seen. I thought it sounded really good, though. 40 Acres. Can you tell us about that? It sounded amazing.
Yeah, it may be gone from theaters now. It was a smaller movie.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was really good. It was sort of it's set in like the near future, and like, you know, it's sort of post-apocalyptic, but sort of in a way where there's been a lot of famine, a lot of starvation. And so people who own farmland are sort of like that's the most valuable land on the planet if you can grow things. And so it's this blended family led by this couple who are sort of ex-military. And they're sort of keeping the farm safe and their kids safe from all these marauders outside. And so it's great action. It's sort of a little 28 years later-y, I think, not zombies, but sort of that idea of society falling apart and people trying to hold it together. But it's a really good balance of like that kind of action and then like family drama. And the actress who plays the mother is Danielle Deadwyler, who was nominated for the Emmett Till movie a couple years ago, nominated for an Oscar. She is phenomenal. Like, it is one of the best performances of the year. It's this woman who is incredibly capable, incredibly tough, but also like, you know, right on the edge of collapse after trying to keep her family together for so long. And so, yeah, given this probably just out of theaters, it's probably gonna be on VOD pretty soon. Definitely a sleeper, but highly recommend it.
Oscar potential for a performance? I don't
know.
Or two?
It's such a small movie, you know.
Yeah.
But I think if you see it, she's just undeniable. She's like one of those actresses, I think, who, even though she has an Oscar nomination, you know, she's going to break big in some role pretty soon.
I love when I read a review where I'm like, I can't wait to see this movie. So that's definitely on my list.
So good.
And then what about how are you doing with Department Q? That's a show on is it Peacock?
Netflix.
Oh, Department Q is Netflix. Okay, I finished it and I liked it.
We finished it too, and yeah, I liked it too. Solid mystery drama, you know, set in Scotland. It was one of those movies where, like, one of those TV shows, excuse me, where like at first it's all about the main character, but as you watch it, you start liking all the people around him more, like the two sort of sidekicks that the detective has.
Right.
And his weird yoga roommate, and, you know, that guy was really funny. And I thought it was very smart that they sort of gave you initially this very acerbic detective in the lead. And then he kind of recedes a little bit and softens and let you see these other characters sort of move to the fore. And I think that helps sustain us through the 8 or 9 episodes.
Yeah, I love the Syrian partner. Oh, he's not even really a partner because he's not a cop yet, but he's like this crazy trained paramilitary guy and soft spoken and thoughtful. And you're right. Yeah, I like the boss. Yeah. It was a very I didn't love it, but it was really a solid show. And I couldn't wait to sit down with it every night.
That's how we felt too. And I'm definitely up for a second season.
Yeah.
And I guess it's based on a series of books.
Right.
So there's more material there. But I just a good sit down, satisfying summer watch.
That's great. Great way to put it. And what about, I'm new to the party on Poker Face, pardon me, Poker Face. And I like it. It's kind of one of those weird shows. You watched it, right? I don't want to bring this up if you haven't seen it.
I watched the first season, okay. And we watched the first couple of episodes of the new season, and it hasn't really grabbed us, and I don't really know why. The best way I can describe it is sort of like a modern-day Columbo.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, the audience knows who the killer is.
Right.
Different case of the week. And then... This amateur detective who's played by Natasha Lyonne.
She's great.
Comes in and is able to sort of figure out what's going on and who's the killer and brings them to justice. And I think maybe the first two I don't know. It's very light on the mystery, maybe. I don't know.
Let's pick it up right there. We're going to do a really quick break. We'll have a couple more minutes with our pal Rob Thomas. Coming up next, it's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Great to have you with me as we wind down a Monday night here tomorrow night on the show. Comedian and podcaster Mike Schmidt will be here. Mike is always a blast. He's going to talk about one of his idols who passed away recently, Michael Madsen, and probably have a great story. That story he told last time he was here about the girls challenging him and his friends to basketball. And
so
the,
funny.
The guys were not athletic and the girls were all on the team and they came out and did a layup line on a Saturday morning. And they got destroyed because the guys were so big.
You know, the other story he had, too, was when he was in the gas station.
He fell asleep. Oh, God, it's beautiful. He stayed at his friend's house and played hooky, and then the mom came home for lunch. The guy is just packed with stories. Can't wait to talk to Mike. And then 7,000 Apart will be here in studio. John Anomaly, always fun. Brilliantly, unbelievably talented rock duo. They'll be here tomorrow night as well. We have a few more minutes with our pal Rob Thomas here. I want to read this text, though, before we get back to Rob. Steady Eddie says, he's in the 608. He says, Pete, in 1974, when streaking was a new thing, and after a long, cold winter, three streakers appeared from the night in the shared light in the courtyard of three dorms at UW-Stevens Point. The scene drew quite an excited crowd. Then a bell, those streakers did ring. So I guess it was a 1974 happening, celebrating spring. I didn't realize Steady Eddie was using verse when I started reading that. Apologies, Steady Eddie. He says, I also once, as I was driving by, saw a naked guy running alone down the sidewalk in Madison at 1:30 in the morning. By coincidence or not, Pete, he was running down Johnson Street. Steady Eddie. Thank you, buddy. Great text, as always, my friend. And then AJ from the 608 says, Hi, Pete and Conrad. If I were to streak, it would be the Super Bowl for sure, but realistically would be a movie set where I can sneak into. Listen, AJ, wherever you streak, just take pictures and we'll post them here on
Pete,
the stream.
I'm going to give him the address for that.
You're going to give him the address?
For your next.
Where you next? Okay. On the set or at the premiere? Either way.
Oh, there you go.
Bring some excitement to our lives. Rob Thomas is here. We're talking to Rob. He is a Madison-based film critic and is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor, and he joins us periodically here on Nightlight. Rob, we were talking about... Poker Face. And I think just the falling into a caper every week, I have an issue with. It's just kind of a weird thing, but I do like it's a good show.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a throwback to those, like I said, Columbo, those movies or TV shows from the 70s where everything was wrapped up by the closing credits, which we're not really used to anymore. And I think it's fun, but also like, it doesn't necessarily bring you back to watch it, 'cause it's like, there's no hook to the way Department Q has to bring you back, but it's a good show.
It had a very Better Call Saul element to it, where it kind of takes its time and sets up who the killer is. And like, I don't know, it was a weird thing, but I liked it, but I didn't, I'm not loving it, but I'll finish the first season. I'm behind on it anyway. It came out 5 years ago, but that's how it is with some of these. Did you watch season three of White Lotus, Rob?
Did not. I've only seen the first season of White Lotus.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I'll look forward to it.
We liked, but I think that's enough rich people behaving badly for a while for us.
And that's what the show is. So, yeah.
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about the smart you wrote about the smart studio story and the screening at the Atwood Music Hall. I can't remember if it was in your Substack or for CityCast, but or maybe it was just on Facebook. But did you attend that?
I missed it. I saw that movie when it was at the Wisconsin Film Festival a few years ago.
Same.
With, we were probably both there, with the filmmaker Wendy Schneider, and I think it was three members of Garbage, because two of them own the studio. And it's a great film and a fascinating story.
Were you at the building Q&A at the Barrymore? Because I hosted that. Okay.
Oh yeah.
All right.
That's why it went so well. That's right.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't remember if I was there. He was the host. No, you're right. It was Butch Vig and Steve Marker, the founders of Smart Studios, and then Wendy Schneider, a great filmmaker who made this film about her bosses, basically. Such a great story, and I wish I could have been there at the Atwood Music Hall. We had Wendy on last week to kind of talk about it a little bit, but great movie, right?
Yeah, it's so entertaining and. So many good stories, both of like these huge bands like Nirvana, I mean, the hugest Smashing Pumpkins who would record there.
Yeah.
And then like just all these scrappy little Madison and Wisconsin bands who they would also get studio time there. And it really shaped kind of that grunge sound of the 90s. I think that do it yourself thing.
And all from that little studio right there at Baldwin in East Washington.
I'm sure lots of people drive by. It's now a private residence. Woman bought it and turned it into, she tried to make it an Airbnb, but the rules in Madison were too onerous. So it's like a residence is like a shrine to Smart Studios where she has like, you know, posters and t-shirts and all this stuff up.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Hey, we have about a minute left, Rob. I just want to give you a hard time because you recently posted a picture of a hamburger with a hot dog on top of it on Facebook. And you were doing spin classes and Pilates and jazzercise. I thought you were getting in shape. What was that all about?
That was 10 years ago. I was like, when I used to do this column, Hardee's had for 4th of July, like a 4th of July burger. There was like a burger and then hot dog and then like potato chips on top. And it was life changing.
In a good or bad way.
Probably both. It's probably still in my system somewhere 10 years later.
Yeah. It's going to take a while to work that through. No question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, always fun, buddy. Thanks so much for your time tonight. And
thanks, Pete.
Until next time. All right, that's Rob Thomas, folks. Have a great night, Rob. Thanks so much to Rob. Thank you to the Piat family for coming in. Chris, Paul, Elliot, and Tess, they were all here. It was fun. Conrad is contemplating where he's going to streak next, and we'll talk about that some more.
Well, you know, maybe the public pool.
How about the public library?
Well, then you can't make noise, though, so.
Wait, will you make noise when you streak? What do you have?
You got to scream, you know?
I usually like to blow a bugle when I streak. Just...
A nice trumpet.
Remember that question I was going to have that one time because Alec Baldwin said, I don't have time to go into detail, but the question was going to be what musical instrument best describes your private parts?
A triangle.
Triangle. A gazoo here. So, all right. Thanks for listening, folks. Always great. Thank you for being part of the show. And on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.